with us, dear viewers, on a journey full of horror, humor, and mystery to the Regency village of Bledlow, where three young ladies are about to discover nothing is quite as they believed.
I do miss you terribly when you go away.
No, I'll be home soon. I promise.
This is quite disturbing. Why would he have such unholy books?
Have you come for my power?
You can follow along on YouTube and Twitch every week if they survive.
She has had enough of this fucking cycle of marriage and men and what that does to women, what that does to wives and daughters, and what he's done to her.
We're going to find him. And we're going to save the world.
You are listening to Tales Yet Told, an actual play show dealing in horrific and often heavy topics and themes at the intersection of queerness and horror. Content warnings, list of cast and crew, and other relevant links can be found in the description. Viewer discretion is advised.
Your mind is a tool you can choose to use any way you wish. Every thought we think is creating our future. The point of power is always in the present moment. We are each responsible for all our experiences. Everyone suffers from self-hatred and guilt. Resentment, criticism, and guilt are the most damaging patterns. Releasing resentment will dissolve even cancer. The bottom line for everyone is I'm not good enough. It's only a thought, and thoughts can be changed. When we really love ourselves, everything in our life works. We must release the past and forgive everyone.
Shh. What are you doing back here? You can't be back here right now.
I thought I saw an old friend come down this way, and I haven't seen them in a while, and I was really hoping to catch up with them. You haven't seen somebody come down.
I may have.
Virgil, you look like you've seen a ghost or something.
Not quite a ghost, I wouldn't say that.
Virgil, how well do you know your congregation?
I mean, that's kind of my whole thing.
Then there are two I need you to take somewhere. The one known as Clementine and the other known as Leifa.
They wanted us, specifically.
I got the impression that this would not be happening with anyone but the two of you. You're smiling, is there a reason why?
Is it correct that a couple of years ago, you were potentially on track to be a replacement for one of the Harbingers?
It's nice to be important. That's all.
Take them to the stacks. Take them to the writer's room. There are memories that need to be extracted.
There's like a slight look of terror on Letha's face as they grab both the hands, and instantly they remember running down another set of stairs, white marble at the time, holding the hand of someone that looks a lot like Virgil. And just have these flashes of all these different things, like the door that won't shut, a carnival that's on fire, two lovers covered in blood in the snow, as they begin to like run away from this force that they do not know why they're afraid of, but they know they should be.
Do this, and the choice of your next life is yours. The time has come to make our moves, if they are to be made at all.
Well, see, the problem right now is Leith is just waiting to see if they need to forcibly remove this memory from this man's head of him asking, or why he's asking, or who hired him to ask.
Hey, I still had a couple of questions. Get back here!
It's almost as though a grid was hugging his skin prior to this. On a path, on a trajectory in this world, and you literally see the lines of the grid slither down his body like a snake and off of his form. And he extends this freedom to both Letha and Clementine as they freely can run as far as they can to the stacks, still seeing trajectories of where people would be moving through the sublime and charting their own for a change.
And Letha, there's something about this moment. As the three of you are running away from Agent Seeker, who's kind of frozen in time behind you, as you all are weaving through cars and things of this nature, there's something about this that feels far too familiar. But is it familiar to you, or is it familiar to you, or maybe to you? It's familiar to all of you. As you remember running through your hometown, away from the hunters who have come to kill everyone. You remember running through alleyways, away from the men with the guns, away from the men with the armor and the men with the heavy boots that stomp on ground and stomp on the people, and you remember seeing the explosions. You remember seeing the fire, and you remember stopping for a moment. To take a breath, looking to the person next to you, to a person who looked a lot like Virgil, and standing right at the base of the statue of the stranger standing high and tall above the city, burning to the ground. And you remember seeing Clementine right before it all ended.
But somewhere along the road, I felt the shift. The days turn happy like an unseen rift. The girl that I was began to fade. And in her place, a new self was made. I'm in between, I'm not quite all a girl, a woman, both in my soul. Learning to balance, learning to be in the struggle, I find the real me. I feel the pull of who I should be, caught between the
and then you're all here, right at the steps to the Walton Public Library. What is it about this library that strikes all of you when you stand here finally gazing upon it as time begins to catch up to you?
Letha throws up.
I think for Clementine, she feels like an ache. Where her memories used to be, the reason why she's no longer, why it's past tense about being a replacement for a harbinger, a possible replacement for a harbinger, it just felt so close to what she used to be, what she used to be doing. And then now that she's at the steps, now that time has sped up and she is back to being closer to her normal self before needing the system, she feels like she's missing something.
For Virgil, I think what strikes him in this moment, it's like when you're walking a dog and they're pulling against the leash and the collar is too tight. And the more they struggle, the tighter the collar seems to become. And freeing himself from that coding, from that structure, like he's done many times before. It's like the first deep breath he gets to take. How long has he been Virgil? It's hard to keep track. But the bliss of running and breathing because he wants to, because he has a plan, because he has a goal, it's everything. So though he should have more of an expression maybe of fear, maybe of anxiety, because they are being hunted in this moment. There is this labored peace that he's able to achieve just from running across town.
And you know what you did, Virgil?
What did I do?
You ran.
Oh, I did run.
And because the event that you saw come to pass did as such, you get to refresh your anomaly track.
Oh, thank you.
It was getting kind of close there.
Oh. Not in episode one.
You hear Letha being sick in a trash can behind both of you. Every time there's a proximity with the system that is that intense, there's usually a little nausea that follows it. The system does not love when you care about more stories than your own, because the system crushes most stories. And Letha just feels a large brunt of that, carrying so many unfinished hopes and possibilities within his own archive. So it doesn't take long, and he's not overly loud. He's always prided himself at being quiet while he's suffering. He wipes his mouth and takes a mint, and then returns to both of you with, well, today's been a day already, hasn't it? I hate it.
I'm sorry.
Now, why do we need to be here, Virgil? Like, this is all on trust at this point.
Honestly, I wish I could tell you more.
Me too. Me too, yeah. Virgil.
I just know it's of the utmost importance.
Dearest Kendrick, mechanically, could I take Virgil saying they truly wish they could tell me more as a willingness to maybe give up a memory if they had it?
I wish I could tell you. No worries, I'll just pluck it from your brain.
I won't take that away from Kelly. I will allow Kelly to answer. Do you think that that is enough of consent for Letha to be able to pluck a memory from dear Virgil?
Well, the only thing is, you're asking Virgil about the system's current motivation, and Virgil does not have that information right now. At least I don't think.
Virgil, I know it's not really your type of belief, but how do you feel if, like, I just, you know, try to read your aura for a moment? See, make sure everything's clear and understood so we can properly step towards our destinies together.
I look to Clementine for reassurance. My aura, they do this to you, too?
On occasion.
Is it gonna hurt?
Clem has never seen Letha ask to see someone's aura before.
Fascinating.
A lot of firsts today, I think.
They should be with people you love, so that's great. But okay. Gesturing to take Virgil's hand.
He'll give you his hand, sure. He doesn't fully understand this, but...
Perfect. I like that vagueness, because then Virgil can kind of decide how this goes. If Virgil freely gives up a memory that they may or not even know they have, then it just happens. If you're not willing, then there's a role.
Oh, I mean, I think... I think Virgil is willing enough. If this is so important, if you two are so important to what we have to do today, I think trust must be fostered. So I don't think he's unwilling. I think he will lean into whatever you are attempting.
Then as your hands slowly reach out to each other, Virgil, you feel something similar to before, much like when the system had its hand over your head, but instead of giving, this is taking.
I think Letha hears the sound of a typewriter as just taking your hand and just being like, what are you keeping? What do you know? and almost like looking right past Virgil's face. Like when someone's looking right behind your head, that is how Letha's eyes are seen, as they're trying to pull a memory of what exactly is happening today and what was told to you to make you ask us to leave and all those sorts of things. Basically netting the bottom of your cove for clues.
Okay.
I think the first thing that you see is the moment that you all know already happened. The moment where Virgil met the system, meaning that two of the three of you got to see it today. And in that moment, you can relive the words spoken to Virgil.
Take them to the stacks. Take them to the writer's room.
But why were they so familiar, is what Letha keeps thinking to themselves. Like, why was there such a relationship already? That's interesting.
And then your mind goes to the first part of this memory, the reaching out. And where Virgil only focused in on one of those memories, you see that there was actually a flood. So many memories that you can't even possibly count, of so many lives lived and so many lives taken and so many bodies reforged. You can feel him inside of you, twisting your every inside, making it something that's meant to be his. And you know that the two of them have met before, again and again and again, after the stranger was done with his work. The stranger is the crafter, the molder, and the coder. He doesn't care where it goes after. That's the system's job to take care of, and to bring it back when it's done, and after it disobeys.
I would like to scream and take a harm.
Absolutely. You scream in the middle of the street, gathering a couple of eyes, but mostly people leave you alone. Lots of freaks these days. But the two of you do witness Letha yelling after touching Virgil's hands.
It's like a scream that goes dead quiet right after it's released, like a sudden cluster pain that shows up and then is gone. Goes to reach for a cigarette and realizes he quit years ago. Yeah, we should probably go in there.
I'm glad you're on board.
Just turns around and starts walking up the stairs.
Have I ever seen Letha react like that before?
Maybe once or twice, but like in a very early learning stage of things, and not nearly with the hold that they currently have on themselves.
Interesting. Very interesting. Clem just follows that.
I think Virgil moves to follow Letha inside.
You all begin to ascend the steps of this great house of learning. Tall white pillars wrapped with these emerald vines. It's a natural place. Even the brick here is covered in moss. Just so that you know, it is truly sublime. But the inside is a place of wonder. The ceiling goes so, so high, giving so much space to breathe and to read. The Walton Public Library is a gorgeous place. It's one of the first buildings that was built here when it was first settled. It has only grown since. The three of you have probably been here at one point or another, so you already know where all of the tall, tall shelves with all of the books that need to be read and books that can be borrowed. But you've never heard of the deep stacks before, and you wouldn't even know where to begin to look. There are a couple of people in this place, the usuals who come here on Sundays and don't go to church, and the librarians who are forced to be here regardless of if there is church or not. Where do you go? Where do you start looking? Is there anyone you talk to? Anyone you avoid?
With my connections with the back room at my VHS store where I sell illegal pre-war media and things of that sort, would I have any knowledge of a hidden archive here that I could use that same move to roll to see if maybe I'd heard rumor or whisper while buying some propaganda and things like that.
Of course. I think that places that store knowledge and store stories store them in very similar ways, or at least have similar practices in doing so. I don't know if you've ever been to the deep stacks of this particular library, but for any place where there are tales to be told, there are always tales that have yet to be told, and tales that are forced to not be told. And anywhere that that can be found, there's also a red light.
And Letha's hands just kind of drag along the book covers, touching the spines as though they were many lovers that he's known through time, while whispering to himself, once there was a world, and then there was not. What a strange promise to eat what you've wrought.
As you are walking this place with your fingers dancing along the edges of these books, can I get an assess reality roll from you?
You can. 8 on the die plus... Is that a wit roll?
Yes, that is a wits roll.
So a 9 total.
Okay, on a 7 to 9, you get to hold one and ask any of those questions.
I think I'm going to go with what here is useful or valuable to me, as he is fully locked in now on what they are here to find. That pain was almost like a bucket of cold water to kind of bring a focus to Letha. So he's just going through the stacks with that one question in mind while saying that nursery rhyme that he had never heard before today, over and over again.
Of course. And Virgil and Clementine, the two of you, watch as Letha dances their fingers upon the covers of all of these books, upon their spines, and whispering to themselves a nursery rhyme that neither of you have heard before. And Letha, I think it just so happens that your fingers stop, almost like an impulse, upon a book, and you turn to look at it, and it reads, along its spine, Alice in Wonderland. And you hear the sound of typing at a typewriter far in the distance, and something tells you that perhaps you need to find where this rabbit hole goes, because who else could be typing if they weren't writing?
I pull my finger from the spine slowly and bring it to my mouth and kiss it. While reading the book still on the shelf, holding my own fingers to my lips, I'm like, that's interesting. I've actually been thinking about a rabbit a lot lately. I wonder who she is. And I go and pull the book off the shelf.
You pull the book off the shelf, and it's an old cover covered in mycelium and vines and flowers growing up from the ground on it. There's bright green, purple, and red grasses growing around a young girl in blue and a hat. She has a flashlight in hand and a pumpkin in the other. She seems scared.
I'm gonna hand it to Clem, because I'm good at finding the right thing, but Clem is better at finding the important thing. I think this has something to do with why we're here.
Okay.
And Clem, as you take the book, you too can hear the sound of a typewriter far off in the distance somewhere in this library.
All right. Can I? I guess... Is this an assess reality roll, or can I make this an embrace chaos roll?
Ooh, I think that these two things have two different possibilities. Assessing reality might give you a better sense of this locale and where you should go. Embracing the chaos here might help you find the source of this typing noise and tap into whatever power lies beyond it. For surely there's something that must be connecting to all of you. Why can you hear it now that you're holding the book? Surely it must mean something. Surely there is something entangled here that you can start to pull at the strings of, if you want.
And I sure do love pulling at strings.
Then pull away and roll plus chaos.
Yippee!
Cut that out, Kess.
Leave no, it. Don't.
Kess, I'll pay you to leave it in.
I rolled an 8.
Okay. On a 7 to 9, choose one from below, and the GM also chooses one. Please make my day and choose first.
Ooh. I want to gain a clear understanding of the power's source, effect, and motives, if any.
Okay.
I don't like the way that your eyes just widen there.
They're excited. I
can
tell.
I was having an acknowledgement.
I can tell. They're satisfied with their pick.
Quite satisfied.
It would have been really funny if I would have, if I sniped Kendo's pick. That would have been funny.
You got me.
As your fingers trace the edge of this book and you hear this typewriter somewhere in the distance, you begin to focus in on it. There's something about it that feels so familiar, something you've heard before. Surely you've met the writer before. Maybe you've met the writer before during your time working with the system, but there's something about the way the typewriter sounds that sounds incredibly familiar, or at least it feels familiar in this moment. Maybe it's just the way that the sound moves through the space. Maybe it's your understanding of how sound moves through space and all of the energy and processing that it takes for time to move forward and forward second by second. Or maybe it's the fact that this is the sound of a harbinger at work. Maybe that's why this feels so familiar. Maybe this is him. Of course it must be him. You remember always seeing him with that briefcase, back in that white room that extended forever, back during those periods of times where you and the system would spend days, years, months, you don't quite remember how long it was, in that white room that went on forever. And every now and then, the writer would appear and the two of them would get into a spat, but you always saw the writer there with his briefcase, with the sound of a typewriter clicking and clicking and clicking and clicking, and maybe, just maybe, following the sound can lead you to him. He sounds busy, very busy. The sound of the typewriter is moving at the pace of a horse racing down the track, knowing that if it doesn't make it to the end first, that this is its last race.
Curiouser and curiouser. He sounds desperate. Why is that?
And I will say, the other effect that happens here, as you gain an understanding of it, as you understand what the sound is and maybe where it's leading, you start to hear the sound fade. You're losing the path quickly. You better move.
Did you quell the power's effects?
I did indeed quell the power's effects. We're better. Roll better. Roll better.
Roll better, you say, Kendo. That is a bold.
Roll a better.
Bold. You know, I'm going to start rolling double sixes and get some 14s on this Embrace Chaos. You just watch me.
We'll see. It's an advanced move for you. So if you get that, that's pretty big.
Yeah, it'd be huge. All right. Clem has the book in hand and just turns to Virgil and Letha and is like, follow me quickly before I lose it.
All right.
Just.
And our camera watches as the three of you begin to make your way deeper into the library. But our camera stays here, looking at the frame that was looking towards the front door of the library and the many, many people here. And we see the door open and a man in a suit walk in. Our camera cuts as the three of you have made your way deeper and deeper still. The walls are growing higher and higher, with moss and fungi growing along the edges of the shelves. This is a place very, very dark and very, very far away from where everyone else likes to read. You're starting to get to the books that no one ever touches and no one should ever see. The sound of the typewriter is growing even dimmer and dimmer still, but it hasn't quite left you because you keep getting closer to where it is, almost as if you're chasing it. It's trying to run away and you're trying to get closer to it. What are the three of you thinking as you're walking through this place that feels so strange? A part of the library that feels more like a cave than it feels like a place of learning.
I think the further Virgil strays from the predetermined path, the stronger the sense of liberation in his chest grows. So The excitement is almost roiling over. He just, with urgency, listening to that typewriter, somehow just moves faster.
Letha is frustrated because they keep taking books off the shelves and they keep all just having a picture of a pepper shaker on the front. And he keeps throwing them down to the ground and moving forward. Here's the sound of bowling pins falling. Here's the sound of a cruise ship with all these voices raising, and these stories aren't in their right order. And something about this feels manufactured. As though somebody trapped something sacred in a place that wasn't clean enough. But trusting the process, and you know, there's always this part in the middle of the movie where you're not sure what's coming, Letha continues to move forward, hoping this isn't them doing it again, and wishing he would just leave him alone.
For Clem, do you know when you're like a child and you seek validation from an adult, or someone... just someone you look up to and you seek their validation so much, like, and you get into your head that this thing that you're doing is the thing. This is what will make them love you and think about you the way that you think about them. For Clem, that is what is stubbornly going through her mind, is the system asked for her. The system asked. Yes, it asked for Letha, and yes, it spoke to Virgil, but it asked for her. So this is important. This is what it'll take to get back on track. This was all just a test. This is the final chapter of this test. She just needs to do this task perfectly, as the system would. And so she's chasing this sound. She's like using any tricks in her playbook to track, to calculate the manual distance, like manually calculate how sound reverberates off of moss, off of damp moss versus dry moss versus mushrooms, and see like the distance from where she is and sound, all of this going through her head as she's clutching this book, her nails digging into it. And also passively thinking about the micro tears that are happening on the book's surface as her nails dig in.
As the three of you continue to move trepidatiously deeper into this cavern, into this tunnel, into this well, you start to notice that all of the books are pretty cluttered. It's kind of chaotic here. No longer are all of them sitting along the shelves. Some of them have been tossed to the ground, opened up, scattered, pages flying everywhere. Some of them aren't even fully bound books, just half-bound manuscripts that have been ripped open and tossed asunder. The further you get, the more and more chaotic it is. And the fewer books that are left on the shelves. And now you all hear it. Now you're getting even closer and you hear the tip-tap typing on the typewriter. You're still not quite there yet, but then just when you think that maybe things can't get stranger, that's when you hear a hiss. Deep and bellowing, echoing throughout this labyrinthian library you find yourself in. And there's the moving of scales on dirt, on wood, and on books and papers. There's something writhing here. Something looking for you. Or maybe for someone else. Who's to say? What do you all do as you hear the sound of a large moving serpentine thing somewhere amongst the shelves?
I mean, I think Virgil's survival instincts are, though he is very excitable at this moment, survival instincts, you know, old habits die hard. And anything that will inhibit his freedom right now is an obstacle. So he is looking for a source. He's looking at what's trying to speak to us from between the stacks.
Then can I get you to assess reality?
Absolutely. That's an 8.
Okay. On a 7 to 9, you get one hole to ask one question.
because I want control of the path moving forward, because it's my choice. So I will ask who or what is really in control here that I need to wrest control from to continue.
That is a good question. What here is in control? Well, there certainly is someone in control of the typewriter, someone who is tip-typing at it, a person that you can only assume to be the writer. But when it comes to this space that you're in right now, and the chaos of all these books thrown across the floor, and the strange hissing sound, I think it becomes quite clear to you who is really in control, at least of where you are. As you can see, rising above a bookshelf, hidden in the darkness along the wall, you see a serpentine head of a viper, its teeth bared and mouth open. You can hear it as the hiss of air comes out from its throat. It's moving in such a way and in the darkness that the other two haven't quite seen its mouth yet and won't know exactly when the viper strikes. But you will, giving you a plus one to act on the answer of your question. In this moment, right before it strikes, what do you do?
Do I have the sense that it is striking at me? Or at all of us?
It is striking at all of you. Its mouth is big enough to hold all of you in it.
Okay. Not only are these two members of my flock, of course, but they are the key to me getting my own life. So with everything I have, I force them out of the way as if I was a father carrying his children out of a burning building. The urgency with which I remove them from harm's way is palpable.
Amazing. I love this. Can I get you to face your fear?
Maybe.
And roll plus pluck.
Okay. That's a 10.
Amazing. On a 10 plus, you accomplish exactly what you set out to do, which is to get them to safety. Mm-hmm. Clementine and Letha, the two of you feel the force of being pushed out of the way and into the bookshelves on either side of Virgil as a large viper's head comes crashing down from somewhere out of the darkness, lashing out at them, catching only Virgil in this moment. And Virgil, you will take 2 harm, but you can always spend essence to avoid all of it.
How much essence? Is it 1 for 1?
You only spend 1. You spend 1 essence to avoid all harm.
Okay. All right. I'll do it. I will mark an essence.
Okay. What does it look like as this viper comes down trying to take a bite out of you, and you push Clementine and Letha out of the way, leaving yourself vulnerable, but you still will be untouched?
I think what it looks like as this viper lunges for me. You know, when there's like a glitch in a video game and suddenly the impossible thing that you can't do is possible. So Virgil is just a man. You know, he's no great strength, at least with his current coding. But what you see is this viper lunging for him, and somehow with this speed that does not make sense, in one swift motion as he pushes Clementine and Letha out of the way, he moves his hands to grip a fang from the top of the viper's mouth and from the bottom, and is holding them there in stasis as if they're frozen, as if mechanically this is what he was made to do, even though it should not be possible. But he is holding the fangs of this viper and staring it down over its snout into its eyes. Not in a threatening way, but in a I see you way, and you will not do that again.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you. Bitcherton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitcherton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Maravich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
Clementine and Letha, is there anything the two of you are doing as you're starting to recover from being pushed against the sides and you see Virgil here holding his own, holding the fangs of this viper that's trying to eat him, eat all of you?
I'd love... Can I fight for my life?
Absolutely. What does it look like when you do so?
I think... How close is the viper's head to where Clementine is?
It's probably less than 5 feet away from you. You could leap out and touch it easily.
Are its eyes close to me?
I would say its head is pretty big. It might be a reach to get up to its eyes, but you can certainly try.
Are viper eyes on the side?
Yes, but it's a giant. Tall. Yeah, it's like this is a viper the size. Think of like the basilisk.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Virgil's even more badass now. This is great.
No, absolutely.
This is great. I love it.
I guess I didn't really explain the full size of this creature.
See, I actually thought it was bigger than that because you said all three of us could fit in its mouth.
I feel like the basilisk could. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah. Their mouths go crazy.
I was picturing like a whale.
Honestly, now that you're reminding me that it was all three of us could fit in, the scale at which I was thinking is too small.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Oh, I guess the basilisk is way smaller than I was thinking, actually. So think of something like two times the size of the basilisk.
Oh, Virgil's so
criminy, criminy, criminy.
Yeah, no, genuinely. Like, yes, I want us to all imagine here that Letha and Clementine are watching Virgil hold back this viper the size of a dragon that's barreling down on him and being able to push back against it with a force that does not seem like it should be humanly possible.
Can I reach inside its mouth with my hand and just grab... up at the nearest amount of flesh, and I would love to, fight for my life. I would love it to manifest. Let me go. From Clementine's hands, they urge the time of the viper to move forward faster than it currently is existing, and I would love to try and make its insides rot.
Hey.
Hell yeah.
That fox?
Hell yeah.
And I love it. Absolutely. Yeah, go. Roll plus pluck.
Yay!
Yay!
Yippee!
What's my pluck?
Okay. 11.
11.
11.
11. Amazing. On a 10 plus, you get to choose an extra effect on top of the one essence damage that you're going to do to this thing. You can either inflict plus one harm or plus one essence to them. You can suffer less harm because they will most certainly try to get at you back. You can gain advantage, take plus one forward, or give plus one forward to another character. Take something from them, force them where you want. And actually, on a 10 plus, you get to choose two of them.
Yeah.
And it will still try to inflict harm on you as established. which, when you put your hand in its mouth, is pretty easy.
I think I put its hand, to put my hand in its mouth, and you know when you clip through something in a video game?
Yes.
Clem's hand clips through the roof of this viper's mouth and grips something on the inside to cause this arm within. There's no gore from where her hand passes through. It just sort of whoop, is in. Let's see. What can I take from a giant viper?
Take his heart.
I mean, venom, a fang, its dreams, its goals for the future.
Honestly, taking its dreams is kind of funny. Well, I'm kind of taking its future, aren't I? If I'm stealing its lifetime away.
Take its need for meat. vegetarian moving forward.
Yeah, it's a vegetarian viper now.
Steelers girl.
I think I'll inflict one harm and suffer less harm as well.
Okay, that is good. As you reach into its mouth, clipping through the roof of it, grabbing something that feels essential and squeezing, you can feel the liquid of its venom begin to spread throughout the insides of its body, and you can feel as it begins to corrode and change as time moves forward for it in a way that it wasn't supposed to. Virgil, you feel the viper begin to recoil and move back, opening its jaws as it screams in pain. You can let go of it as it starts to like reel upwards, towering as high as this cavern will let it, almost scraping its head against its ceiling. Letha, is there anything you do in reaction?
The first thing you would take from Letha is when Virgil pushed them out of the way. Letha almost had this eye roll. As the scene is, there's another scene on top of it of falling, burning statues in a city much younger than the one around, with Virgil pushing Letha out of the way as something falls where they were just standing. And Letha's eyes roll because some things are just circles. And then watching all this chaos and friend so in danger, hearing that fucking typing, Letha will hold a finger to his mouth and directing it at the sound of the typewriter as he almost hovers off the ground in the moment of the hush, as I'm going to try to silence the typewriting.
Ooh. What is your intent in trying to hush it?
If this is a story it wants told right now, I want to refuse that to it. Because this could be the tale of how my friends die.
I see.
Again.
It almost feels as if you were trying to convince whoever it is at this typewriter to pay more attention to what's happening here than what's happening in their story that they're writing. You want their attention, and in that, I will ask for you to roll plus cheek as you sway them to pay attention to the three of you.
7 plus or minus a 0, so that is a 7.
Okay, on a 7 to 9, they'll do it, but the GM will choose one from below. They want more than you're offering. They demand payment up front. They have a better idea of achieving your goal. They stall and dither for a while. We see you put your finger up to your mouth and you and things go silent, just as they did before, and the sounds of the typewriter dim to nothing. So do the screams of this great viper, who's now howling at its internal pain, scraping its head against the ceiling to no avail and no sound whatsoever. The three of you are here watching it as it whips around, writhing in pain, its tail whipping at the many bookshelves, knocking them over and scattering even more pages and more books and more stories and more tales. It seems distraught. And soon, in its pain, it turns its focus back on you, Clementine, the one who dealt it so much damage, and it tries to swing its tail at you. What do you do in response?
Is it possible to embrace chaos here?
Potentially, it can, yes. Also, if anybody else would like to act, seeing this tail whip out towards Clementine, you're more than welcome to as well.
Does it look like Clementine has a concrete reaction planned to this? Or does she seem more caught off guard by what's about to happen?
Letha starts videotaping.
Did you ever stop? She's just keep.
It's a great rolling. Question.
I think Clementine is not caught off guard, but is sort of, her hands don't look right. Like, they're in the wrong quality. Is that the word I'm looking for? You know, on YouTube where it's like, oh, this is like 480p versus yes. like 1080p. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, her hands are low poly all of a sudden.
Ooh.
She's, like, pulling at something.
I think he's still operating off of what he was previously capable of doing. Not necessarily that he can stop a viper of this size again. But maybe if he's done it once, it can happen a second time, because I've been here so many times. So even though he can no longer see the tracks of how things move in this space, he still feels like there's a phantom vision of where this viper will be. And I think, I suppose this might be a... It's not really a fight. He's trying to stop the tail so Clementine can do whatever she needs to do. So would this be like a face your fear, perhaps? Or...
Yeah, I think this could be a face your fear.
Okay.
As you're just trying to give Clementine time. And that's plus pluck.
It's not good enough. But in this moment where Virgil is
not... good enough.
You see him almost go static where he stands, like a ripple of code has gone through him and like through his entire form from his head to his toe. And it's almost as if he resets. Whatever he was trying to do, that was not the way to do it, but certainly if I take this other path that I should have taken, I will accomplish this. And so you see him phase where he stands and reposition himself. As he uses Redux.
Ooh, yes.
To give
I
it
love that.
Another try.
Go for it.
And we got it that time. That time we got a 10.
And on a 10 plus, you accomplish exactly what you set out to do. What does it look like as Virgil gets in between Clementine and this great big viper's tail lashing out at her?
It's nothing flashy. Again, it is nothing flashy. Although he is there in a flash, he moves with this inhuman speed. But what you see in his body, the ferocity in his body does not match the stoicism of his face. Because again, he told the viper once that this would not work again. And so it's as if they're the only two in the room, not in a romantic way. But he he stares at this viper with the intensity of, I told you once, don't make me tell you again, as he holds him firmly in place.
And Clementine, I believe you are about to embrace chaos.
Yes, I would love to.
Whose chaos are you delving into? The writer who's nearby, or the system that you know is always watching? Or is it something else's chaos that you want to taste?
There is only one being's chaos that I so desperately seek to embrace at any given moment, and that is that of my beloved system. I'd love to use an essence here as well to give myself advantage.
Rip Letha. Yeah, absolutely.
Listen, you can love polyamory.
Listen.
Polyamory.
Let Clementine live. Clementine has two hands.
Exactly. And the
and
system
I can
have all of
yes.
them. There's so much time to spend together.
To me, she was always Clementine.
roll your dice.
Okay. Roll your dice.
Okay. Hey.
Darby, that face. It's very good.
Hey, Kindle.
Yeah, Darby?
How's a 13?
Oh.
For embrace create chaos, a move for which is an advanced one for you, so you get even more choices. That sounds great to me.
Yippee!
On a 12 plus, your mastery of this power influences reality itself. You may choose one of the following effects instead of two from the usual list. So you still get to choose two, but you have an expanded list to choose from, which now also includes clear your essence or harm track, inflict three harm or three essence on a nearby target, lash this power to your will, take plus one ongoing for the rest of the scene, or banish this power from the scene.
Ooh, but banish this power would banish the system from this scene?
That is correct.
No.
We don't want that.
No.
That's fascinating. I just want to be quick above board. If you did that, I think you all would fall into oblivion.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
You would fall off the map, right?
Imagine you just said, hey, CPU processor, stop.
Hey, knock it off.
Turn that shit off right now.
Yeah.
I'd love to inflict three essence, which is... I guess it's using it as harm as well. It's like a harm track, but like of a different sort, I suppose. Right?
Yeah. I think so. There's nothing really about monsters or adversaries having essence, so or maybe it is somewhere within everything that's here. So it's a little hard for me to make out, but I'm basically just treating it as a different, track for sure.
Mm-hmm. Can I just double up on that inflict three harm or three essence
and just absolutely and inflict six
just the tail near her, sticking her hands through the tail, grasping onto
the vertebrae beneath it.
I was just like, what were our lines and bales again?
That's a great question. I was a really bad game master and completely forgot to go over them again with us. That's on me.
If I said I just sort of cleanly pull the bones out of this. Okay, cool.
Debone this bad boy. Dude.
I'm about to debone this snake fish. Without a knife. Okay.
Snake fillet.
Clementine is going to reach her hands into the snake, clipping through, twists her fingers, like wraps her fingers around, and pulls out its nervous system.
Whoa!
You feel the strands of nerves throughout this viper spreading from tip to tail. And you pull on it, like pulling on the strings of a sweater, ripping them out of it. And it doesn't come with blood or guts or anything like that. Just the slight digital sound of code.
Do you ever see how people with yarn will like bundle it as they're like wrapping it up? Clementine is doing that with her hands, just like pulling... Yeah, just like pulling yarn from a skein, just sort of gently with one finger over the other, just sort of wrapping it over and over again. And she's just like pulling it out of the snake from the tail.
And Virgil, you feel the tail go limp in your arms as you're holding on to it, as you're seeing this viper. All three of you are watching as it slowly goes into shock, unsure of what its body is feeling, its mind not quite understanding the feeling of its nerves being ripped from it. And you watch it as it falls from such a great height into several of the bookshelves, crashing down on the ground silently, of course, as Letha's hand is still over their mouth. And there is a stillness as the papers and dust begin to settle in this dark, damp room with grass and fungi growing from the ground. And there is stillness. Letha, do you ever take your finger from your mouth?
Not before I whisper, there once was a world and then there was not. What a strange promise to eat what you've wrought, so only I can hear it. And then I'll remove the finger.
And as the sound begins to return to this place, you all hear that the typewriter has stopped clicking and has been replaced instead with the sound of footsteps growing closer. Is there anything you all do in preparation for the arrival of the writer?
I think Virgil straightens up. Not out of any sort of reverence for the writer, but he had a task, and part of it, at least, has been fulfilled. So he almost looks like he's about to make a presentation, like, look, here, I brought the... I did it. They're here. So he's just alert, attentive, and also keeping an eye out to make sure nothing is going to interfere with what will transpire here.
Letha, Clementine?
I think Clementine is just bundling these nerves.
So metal.
Just wrapping them gently and then going into where the mouth of the viper is and just placing the wreath of nerves on top of their snout.
Like a crown.
Like a crown.
Yeah, of your insides.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your insides are now on the outsides.
Yeah. We hate to see it.
Can they really be called insides anymore?
You're just a bundle of nerves.
Oh.
Aren't we all? How about you, Letha?
To bring their inside to the outside, Letha runs their finger around their mouth like a wine glass, seeing if they'll make themselves sing. And then since they're willing, they're going to remove the memory of the last time they met the writer. Oh.
I will allow it.
And it goes into one of many empty little VHS cases in the side bag he's always carrying to be maybe watched another day. But he'd like to watch this one today as though for the first time.
And as the footsteps get closer, you see, stepping into the light that seems to be filtering from holes in the ceiling, an impossibly old man, perhaps the oldest man there's ever been, with skin that sags so low it stretches from his cheeks. He's paler than bone, and eyes so small you can barely see it behind his flesh sack of an eyebrow. He's balding, of course, but seems to take great pride in his shiny scalp. He's wearing a dark pea coat with long pants that go further than where his feet is and shoes hidden beneath the leg sleeves. He's taller than you think a man should be, and if you think of the tallest person you can think a little taller. He's gangly in ways that skeletons often are, but also seems bulbous around the torso and belly. And as he steps into the light, seeing all of you, a smile crosses his face, though it's hard to see it behind his skin. Well, well, well. You all must be who the system was talking about. Well, which of you are the one with the memories that I'm looking for? Come on, quickly, quickly now.
Was one of us supposed to have the memories? We were just told to come here.
Is that not... It didn't tell you to bring the memory. Whole fucking reason for this. You're wasting my stranger.
They didn't specify who.
They didn't specify? No. They didn't tell you? I am looking for...
I hand the writer the VHS case with the memories of the first time I met the writer that I just removed.
What's this?
I think it's yours.
A fucking movie? It's mine. Hold on.
Just, like, looking right back and forth at each other.
Do I know you?
Not anymore, and not yet.
He hears that and turns to look down at the VHS tape.
Be kind, rewind on the corner.
Miss. You. You are how they kept it hidden. In you. All of it. All of them.
Kept who now?
Let's see what this has.
She can't know.
She? And turns to Clementine. She?
That's still the arrangement.
I see. You also. And turning to look at you, Clementine. I feel like I have seen you before.
I believe
with it.
Yes.
And then you were gone. It never told me why. Maybe.
Turning to look at the VHS again.
This is it.
This is what the stranger was trying to hide from me? Well, I guess we're going to figure out what it is. How would you all like to watch a movie?
With popcorn?
Oh, heavens. I would never watch a movie without popcorn. Please follow me. And he turns around on a heel and begins to walk back the direction he came, motioning for the three of you to follow.
Huh. The writer's a lefty.
Are you all right, Letha?
Well, I mean, it's exciting meeting the writer. The snake was different. Getting kicked out of church is still kind of weighing heavy on me, but, like, I don't know if Virgil's really a good moral standing with the church or not after all this. I'm just not sure what side anyone's on.
I'm probably not.
But it feels familiar, being with the two of you, and being not excited for what's about to happen, even though I don't understand why. Are you both okay? You both kind of pulled a snake apart while I just videotaped it. But, like, not in a dirty way.
I mean, it was rather rudimentary, just thinking about all the components and how the snake moves and hearing every blood vessel pumping blood simultaneously and the beat of its heart and all of that. It weren't too much.
I feel great.
And I believe you, Virgil. Above table.
Do you two want to watch a movie we've maybe seen before?
I don't see why not.
Be ashamed to come all this way and not see something, I suppose.
And Letha extends their hand to Clem.
Takes it.
And the three of you follow the writer. Down this path and into the writer's room. There's a door at the end of the hallway. A light coming from it. You see the writer having walked through, his silhouette shining from the other side as the three of you walk down this dark, cavernous tunnel, or maybe a well. And our camera moves closer as the three of you cross the threshold onto the other side with the writer. And the light of the end of the tunnel fades as the door closes behind you. And that's where we're going to end this session.
Chop.
Boom. Chop. Oh my God, everybody. Thank you for another wonderful episode of Our Lives in the Wood.
Did you say the door closed?
I did.
Fuck you, Kendo.
The door closed behind you. Oh my God. How are you all feeling after that?
I feel like I just unbundled the snake.
That was so fun. That you was so metal. That was so metal. That was an excellent visual.
I love how weird you all got with the way that you used your abilities, and also how Virgil kind of became like Superman.
Yeah.
It's like, Virgil's strong.
He doesn't have guardrails, so he could do anything.
He can do anything. Your body was built by God to be perfect.
That's why the stranger hates me.
But the system loves you.
Yeah.
The system loves you. The
system loves you more than it loves me.
I'm so sorry.
There was definitely some talk at a certain point that maybe there will be more to the story in the future, and I think the way things left off, I feel like maybe this isn't the end of this story. I guess we'll have
to see. Would you say it's a tale yet told, Kendo?
I would say it's a tale. Darby, if you get any closer to the camera, I'm going to grab your nose and I'm going to take it.
grab it. Go on.
I got your nose. And I'm going to throw it into the viper's mouth.
Well, it can't open its mouth. It doesn't have a nervous system in order to tell it to open its mouth anymore.
The viper's has a confidence system now.
But it's okay. He'll be reprogrammed. He'll be fine.
He'll be reprogrammed and made better. Letha is such a little freak, and I loved it so much.
There's like TYT bingo in this episode of other episodes being alluded to. I hope somebody and plays it properly.
No, 100%. I want someone to point out all the different little, like, all the different ones. Like, that's that episode, and then that's that episode. That's when they were at the carnival, and that's when they... So good. But maybe that's just for me and all the other people who have watched Strangers in the Wood. And I guess also Our Lives in the Wood as well. There was a good mix in there. Well, gang, thank you so much for helping me tell this little tale from the Sublime as we move ever closer to the end of our story. For the next episode of Our Lives in the Wood is the finale.
But Kenda, what just happened? What did we do?
What did you do? You gave the writer something incredibly important. Material. Information that was hidden from him for so, so long that now he'll finally get to know and be able to have an opinion on.
Everyone's a critic.
I can tell you more. Everyone's a critic. What do you mean? No, it's like, no, he needed the info. He was being... Okay, so if you listen to the meta story of Our Lives in the Wood and you listen to all of the prologues, you would know that the writer, there's missing information. He's missing memories. And maybe you've just delivered some of them back. Oopsie. All right, everybody, it's getting pretty late and I want to let these beautiful people get back to their lives. So, hey.
Their lives rah-rah. In the woods?
Their lives in the wood.
I gotta get back to my wives in the woods.
Wait, you have wives in the woods?
Maybe.
That's so cool.
I have hives in the woods.
I didn't know there was... Wait, are your wives in the woods a witch's coven?
Why not both?
Okay, yeah, no, I was just wondering if they were witches. Hey, Kelly, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me. I go by the Kelhop across the internet. Just playing games, doing fun stuff with my friends, having a good time. This game was very, very fun, and I'm very, very excited to see where the story goes. I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah. Hey, Darby, where can people find you on the internet?
People can find me on the internet as Chaotic Darby. Just about anywhere handles are to be found. I do stuff and things, and you can watch me do stuff and things or hear me do stuff and things on those places. Yeah.
We have so much in common, Darby. We're all just doing stuff and things.
Doing stuff and things in places. Speaking of people doing stuff and things in places, hey, Rara, where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, hey, I'm Rara. I'm the creator of the Heart is a Dungeon podcast, and that's about all about that. I'm so tired I even forgot my normal little sign-off thing. I'm Rara, but that's enough about that.
It'll be in the description. You can find all of these amazing people in the episode.
What about you, Kendo? It's hard to see you. Where can we find you? Trophies you've won this year, but I think I can make out your dulcet tones.
Where are they? Let me move them aside. Hold on.
Really? Okay, wow. Yeah. Well, if you look past all of my cool trophies that are mostly about my friends being really cool and awesome, you can find me everywhere on the internet that matters at Kendo Makes Films. And guess what? You can probably also find this podcast anywhere on the internet that matters at Tales Yet Told. And if you're listening to it right now, hey, thanks so much for doing that. It would be super cool if you gave us a rating or a review on whatever podcatcher you're listening to, or maybe gave us a shout out on the internet by tagging us at Tales Yet Told, or if you're on Blue Sky, it's at talesyettold.com. And guess what? That website also works, where you can find out more information about all of our seasons and also our merch store at merchyetsold.shop. But I think that's all I need to say on that. And we will see you all next time for our finale here at Tales Yet Told. And guess what? Don't forget, well, I don't guess this. I'm just going to tell it to you. Don't forget to go out, eat enough food, drink enough water, get enough sleep, and take care of yourself. Because self-care is incredibly important, especially in the times we're living in right now. I mean, like, quite literally, please take care of yourself. Like, I'm on my hands and knees. I'm begging. I'm like, I'm screaming please. To the Lord in the sky. Please take care of yourself, loved ones. Because, well, if we're going to get through this fight together, do it rested. And don't forget to love yourself like we love you. Bye.
I love you if I know you.